جل جمال اللطف جل جلاله سبحانه تكسو سهلتان دينا تسمى سري غربي نمه سري تيتاني مانوستام ستبيتام دينا وطلي سايام فقدامايام دداتي سا پنندگام پنسکا پدرگرسچا تبزندوائي مطا تيتنام ببنی بیو ویشنی بیو نمو نمه Chapter 14, Canto 7, after the Varnashrama system. The Varnas have been described to some degree in Chapter 11. In 12, Brahmachari and Vanaprastha ashrams have been described. And in Chapter 13, the behavior of a perfected person, someone who has is living on the platform, that he is not the body but is an eternal soul, practically having nothing to do with his body, just living, relishing the sweetness of his relationship with the Supreme. That was chapter 13. So that's three ashrams have been covered, and the basic varnas, including those not in the varnas, not in a particular caste, and the situation of women, that's been covered again in chapter 11. Then brahmachari life, vanaprastha life, 12, 13, behavior of a perfect person. And what is left? Grihastha ashram. Chapter 14, Grihastha ashram. Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from Narada Muni, because the original question was how one could advance to the point of devotional service, and the answer is Varnashrama system. So Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from Narada Muni, "O my Lord, O great sage, kindly explain how we who are staying at home without knowledge of the goal of life may also easily attain liberation according to the instructions of the Vedas. How can householders, those who remain at home, attain liberation?" Interesting, the word used was griha mudhadi. Those completely ignorant of the goal of life, how can they attain liberation? Of course, someone who is completely ignorant of the goal of life, have no desire to attain liberation. But yet, how could someone who is in householder life attain liberation? Prabhupada's purport. Now, we'll read some verses this evening, and we'll read almost all of Prabhupada's purports. In the previous chapters, the great sage Narada has explained how a brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyasi should act. He first explained the dealings of a brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyasi, because these three ashrams, or statuses of life, are extremely important for fulfillment of the goal of life. One should note that in the brahmachari ashram, vanaprastha ashram, and sannyasa ashram, there is no scope for sex life, whereas sex is allowed in grihastha life under regulations. Narada Muni, therefore, first described brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyas because he wanted to stress that sex is not at all necessary. Although one who absolutely requires it is allowed to enter grihastha life or household life, which is also regulated by the shastras and guru. Yudhisthira Maharaj could understand all this. Therefore, as a grihastha, he presented himself as griha mudhadi, one who is completely ignorant of the goal of life. A person who remains a householder in family life is certainly ignorant of life's goal. He is not very much advanced in intelligence. As soon as possible, one should give up his so-called comfortable life at home and prepare to undergo austerity or tapasya. Tapo dibhyam putraka. According to the instructions given by Rishabdev to his sons, We should not create a so-called comfortable situation, but must be prepared to undergo austerity. This is how a human being should actually live to fulfill life's ultimate goal. If one remains comfortable, if one's goal is to remove uncomfortability from his life and wants to organize, work hard his whole life to organize his life, that there's no difficulties, why is that ridiculous? Because it's an impossible position to fulfill. Because no matter what one does, one will become old, one will become diseased, and one ultimately will die. So, an intelligent person who understands life's goal, what does he do? He lives his life in knowledge of these inevitable things. Could you put the volume this down? He lives his life knowing that these things are going to occur, preparing for them. Why? So that he can focus his consciousness in a proper way, because saritad bhava bharata. Whatever one's bhava or mood or whatever one thinks at the time of his death, that will determine his next birth. Antikale narayana smriti. Therefore, at the end of one's life, one has to practice not being comfortable and not trying to remove all the miseries that accompany life. But one has to practice confronting the miseries, making one's mind strong, and that's called tapasya, for the purpose of focusing one's mind upon Krishna. The mind has to become attached to Krishna. That is the goal of tapasya, that's the goal of austerity, to be able to focus one's mind on Krishna. There's one instruction that comes along when Krishna visited Kurukshetra and saw, after so long, the residents of Vrindavan there. So it describes, Prabhupada describes this in this Krishna book, how people think that the goal of life is knowledge and renunciation. This is in the Vedic culture, even in the Vanashrama culture. People think that the goal of life is knowledge and renunciation, and it is true. But exactly what that knowledge is and what renunciation actually is very hard to understand. Because real renunciation is full attachment to Krishna. And complete knowledge is also full attachment to Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada explains, that the residents of Vrindavan, who naturally have no material attachments whatsoever, why? Because their attachment is fully on Krishna. And they are detached from the material world, but they have no aversion to the material world. Rather, they see the entire material world as useful for Krishna's service, so fully renounced. No attachment for the material world separate from Krishna. And because they're always thinking of Krishna, their consciousness is always focused on Krishna, therefore, they're the most knowledgeable personalities. So this is the culmination of all knowledge and renunciation, to become a Brijavasi who loves Krishna, real, true Brijavasi who loves Krishna. The perfection of everything of the Vedic culture. Of all paths of self-realization, culminate in that. Parodhamo. Savaipam sam paramdhamo yatya bhaktir hochajaya haitu kiya patiyata yayatma supersede. And then, by using everything in Krishna's service, then the soul is fully satisfied in ecstasy. And knowledge and renunciation, jnana Jnanayasuvairagyam jnanam chayara haitukam. These, the knowledge and renunciation, come automatically for one who worships the Lord with great devotion. So, householders will tend to be griha medidi, not understanding what the goal of life is, because there's so much attachment, entanglement in money and this and that, the house, the needs of the family, trying to be comfortable, try to enjoy the physical. This is the natural tendency of householder life. So Yudhisthira Maharaj is saying, how can one get out of that? And in Kali Yuga, if one is actually a grihastha, it is very rare and wonderful. Because in Kali Yuga, grihastha means one who, it's an ashram, one who knows that that spiritual life has its, that the household ashram has its purpose of detachment from the household ashram and attachment to Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, for most people who are brought up in Kali Yuga, the influence, the contamination of Kali Yuga is so strong and heavy that it's very hard to be brahmachari. One should try to be brahmachari, but so difficult in Kali Yuga. If one can do it, it's wonderful, so wonderful. And everyone who is not married, at least, should be encouraged to be brahmachari. But yet it is difficult. So very often, marriage is an option that's not exactly an option. It's something that's done. So the question is very important, because one who wants spiritual life and finds himself in the grihastha ashram and wants to progress in spiritual life and not fall down into the deepest, darkest forgetfulness of life's goal. So what will allow him to come up and stay aloof and be pure within a difficult situation? So Narada Muni is going to reply to this question. My dear king, who is the king? Yudhisthira Maharaj. Those who stay at home as householders must act to earn their livelihood, have to make money, have to earn money. And what's the natural tendency when one earns money? Is to want more. And what's the next natural tendency? To want still more. And there's no amount of money that's enough, actually, that one thinks it's enough to satisfy my needs. It's, even if one had all the money in the world in his back pocket, he'd still want to be worried that his other pocket is empty. His front pocket is empty. So householders yet have to earn money, must act to earn their livelihood. And instead of trying to enjoy the results of their work themselves, they should offer these results to Krishna, Vasudeva. So work is required to maintain. Some work has to be done. But yatta pravita bhutanam yena savamidam tatam, Krishna explains in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of the work, one's prescribed duty, should be to satisfy Krishna, not to be a fruitive worker, one who just works to get the fruit so that he can enjoy those fruits. And because what happens if you just try to enjoy fruits, you become nuts automatically, because it's not satisfying. So on the other hand, one, as Narada Muni is saying, one should offer these results of his work to Krishna. How to satisfy Vasudeva in this life? Now, how to do this, though, not to get entangled in this whirlpool tendency. How to satisfy Vasudeva in this life can be perfectly understood through the association of great devotees of the Lord. So two principles. First, life, you have to work. Don't try to enjoy the fruit of that work, though. And third, to do that, associate with saintly devotees, great devotees of the Lord. Purport. And this is going to be stressed in the next three verses, the importance of association. The format for Grihastha life should be dedication to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Anasrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriya. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and works as he is not obligated, works as he is obligated, unattached to the fruits of his work, but works as he is obligated, is in the renounced order of life. And he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Why is he's doing something mystical? Because he's living in the midst of the material world, doing his duties, but he's not touched by the enjoying spirit. This is a great mystical act, great mystical performance. Whether one acts as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi, he must act only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, Krishna, the son of Vasudev, Vasudev. This should be the principle of everyone's life. So whether one is a brahmachari, a grihastha, a vanaprastha, sannyasi, this is the principle, the equalizing principle.
Yeah, there's a lot of us in the other room, we can't hear.
Okay, but then that has to be still lower. Hare Krishna. So the basic principle for everyone is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The science of satisfying the Supreme Lord can be learned as described here. Shakshad Upashita Mahamuni. The word Mahamuni refers to great saintly persons or devotees. Saintly persons are generally known as munis or thoughtful philosophers concerned with transcendental subject matters. And Mahamuni, munin, refers to those who have not only thoroughly studied the goal of life, but who are actually engaged in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. These persons are known as devotees. Unless one associates with devotees, one cannot learn the science of Vasudeva Arpana, or dedicating one's life to Vasudeva, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In India, the principles of this science were followed strictly. Even 50 years ago, Prabhupada said, I saw that in the villages of Bengal, this was written in 1970, So 50 years ago means in the 1920s. Prabhupada says, I saw that in the villages of Bengal and the suburbs of Calcutta, people engaged in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam daily when all their activities ended, or at least in the evening before going to bed. Everyone would hear the Bhagavatam. Bhagavat classes were held in every village, and thus people had the advantage of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes everything about the aim of life, liberation or salvation. This will be clearly explained in the next verses. So previously, this was such a nice standard. People lived in villages in simple ways. Modern societies would say that they were living primitively. But they were so peaceful and no anxiety. No electricity means no anxiety. I've seen this. The first time I went to Ekachakragram. Who was born in Ekachakragram? Nityananda Prabhu. And I walked into Ekachakragram, which has no electricity. It was like walking into a different universe. Of course, it is a holy dham, but it was a different universe. Big mud houses, like palatial houses, so nice, so peaceful and sweet. And everyone, and people were herding their cows, and when they saw you, they would say, Jai Natai. So nice. And then I remember when Jagatwini Mataji first the first Brajmandal Prakram, she was doing puppet shows, and I was teaching at that time, so I couldn't go on the Brajmandal Prakram. But then it went to Govardhan. And I went to, my teaching had ended, so I went to Govardhan. And I saw that the whole, all the people, hundreds of people, had come to see the devotees from the Brajmandal Prakram and the puppet shows. And there was a temple. I remember this very clearly. I know just where it was too. There was a temple, and right on the street level, that was open. And there was someone doing arti to the deities, and there were 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 people standing around just watching the arti very simply, fully satisfied in the sweetness. But what was the first thing that ruined this? No. The movies, the movie theaters. Before television, there was movies. And immediately everything was ruined. Because there was a non-spiritual alternative that was exciting. There is someone doing arti. And look what the competition is. A movie where there is action. Criminals doing their crimes. Police catching the criminals. There's going to be a fight. Who's going to win? Beautiful women. Handsome, strong men. Everyone becomes attracted. And that ruined this system. But then Kali Yuga didn't stop with the movies. Then it got worse. Because you had to undergo the effort of going outside your house to go to the movie theater. And you had to pay money. So you couldn't, if you were a poor villager, you couldn't do that very often. And then Kali decided, this isn't good enough. I will drop one of my eyes and I will become the guru in everyone's house. And thus the one-eyed guru entered. Commonly known as TV. And when I was growing up in Australia, even how many, like 15, 20 years ago, there was how many television stations? Maybe one or two or three or something like that. And then now, how many television stations are there? How many? If you have a big dish, you can get hundreds. How many can you watch at one time? There's one. So people, you can watch three at one time. You know from experience, obviously.
And that's where they go. One, two, three.
Because people's minds are so disturbed, they're not satisfied with what to speak of watching an arti or hearing Bhagavatam. But that Kali hasn't ended there yet. And what is Kali's next plan? The problem with having one station or 100 stations is your choice is limited. You should be able to watch anything you want, any nonsense you want, exactly at the time you want it. Therefore, I shall give them video. VCR. Video. This will do it. And then everyone's minds are so disturbed by watching any video they want at any time they want. Kali's still not satisfied. The next step is possibly the worst. Kamfuta. But it's not over yet, because then you will be able to watch anything you want at any time you want on your computer. You can watch anything at any time, plus play any game, access every place in the entire world, know everything that's going on in the whole world at any time. All, every bit of bad news and gossip you can hear at any time, so your mind can be really disturbed. And you can watch any bad movie, any horrible picture, your mind can be so disturbed continuously. And then the devotees will come and say, how would you like to come to Bhagavatam class? And you say, oh, sorry, I have no time. I'm too busy You have to sit there and listen. And there's nothing to watch even. Not three screens. Not even one screen. Just one person talking. What's not even exciting. So what hope is there in Kali Yuga? So Kali is, I don't know if he has a mustache, but he has a mustache. He's like twirling it and he's really happy. With Kamputar, I have one. I will win. And every house must have one. Or two.
Or three.
Yeah. This is Kali's plan. And then the devotee's offering something so simple. This simple system, so difficult. And one, the simple thing brings the result of one knowing the goal of life, the aim of life. And not getting, even if one's a householder, one doesn't become completely attached. Because one has knowledge, one hears. In the evening at least, one hears something about Krishna. And the atmosphere in the heart becomes cooled. And if one goes the other route, the materialistic route, one is guaranteed to forget the goal of life. It will be covered so deeply. So deeply, one can never find it again, practically speaking. Because what is it covered by? What happens when you watch television and movies and videos and watching all the news and seeing all the things that everyone's doing? One is in complete anxiety, one's mind is disturbed, and one's, and what the recovering is, one's desires increase and increase and increase. Near the birthplace of Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami in Bangladesh, and between Jashur and Kalna. That we ISKCON has some land and a big temple. And it's called Rup Sanatan Smriti Tirtha. And there's so many, even though Bangladesh is an Islamic country, there are many villages there, of Hindu villages. And it's very far, it's just in the middle of Bengal. And there's no electricity there either. Yes, there is. In some places there is electricity. And walking down the roads there, it is just so sweet and peaceful. And it's incredible. Everyone's heart is... That means everyone practically vibrates at a different level without passion, practically. Then we were walking down the road and I saw that in the village there was one television. And there was hundreds of people. Have you ever seen this in a village? Hundreds of people sitting around watching this television, watching some show about a city. And immediately what has to enter the heart? Dissatisfaction. I want what I don't have that they have. There they are, so peaceful, satisfied, their hearts incredibly so. And as soon as this enters, they are not satisfied and they want something. And they have to go to they have to leave the village. The children leave the village to go to the city to see for themselves, to make their fortune. How sad, but this is how Kali is working. Forgetting the aim of life. Text 3 and 4, importance of association. A grihastha must associate again and again with saintly persons. And with great respect he must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his incarnations, as these activities are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Srinvan Bhagavato Abhikshnam, always. Avataraktam ritam, always hear about the Lord, always. Abhikshnam, avataraktam, about the Lord and his avatars, because it is amrita. Shradadano yata kalam upashanta, when you have time. Janavrita. He must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his incarnations, as these activities are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Thus one should gradually become detached from affection for his wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement has been established to give grihasthas all over the world an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita specifically. The process is as described in many ways, is one of hearing and chanting. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Everyone, especially the grihasthas who are mudadi, ignorant about the goal of life, that tendency is so strong, should be given opportunities to hear about Krishna. Simply by hearing, by attending lectures in the different centers of the Krishna consciousness movement, where topics of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed, they will be purified of their sinful inclinations for constant indulgence in illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, which have all become prominent in modern days. Thus they can be raised to the status of light, punya shravana kirtanam. Simply by joining the kirtan, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and by hearing about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, one must be purified, especially if he also
takes prasadam.
Takes prasadam. Yes, exactly. This is all going on in the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, one may ask the question, but okay. But do I have to hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam all the time? I mean, there are other books. I've heard those already. I've been hearing the Bhagavatam for 2 years, 3 years. I've read the Bhagavad Gita 3 times. What about that? Where's the excitement? Same old thing again and again? Another specific description, Prabhupada says, continues, here is Srinvan Bhagavato Abhikshnam Avataraketam Ritam. It is not that because one has finished Bhagavad Gita, he should not hear it again. The word Abhikshnam is very important. We should hear again and again. There is no question of stopping. Even if one has read these topics many times, he should go on reading again and again, because Bhagavata Katha, the words spoken by Krishna and spoken by Krishna's devotees about Krishna, are amritam, nectar. The more one drinks this amritam, the more he advances in his eternal life. The human form of life is meant for liberation, but unfortunately, due to the influence of Kali Yuga, every day the grihasthas are working hard like asses. Early in the morning they rise and travel even 100 miles away to earn bread. Especially in the Western countries, I've seen that people awaken at 5 o'clock to go to the offices and factories to earn their livelihood. People in Calcutta and Bombay also do this every day. They work very hard in the office or factory. And again they spend 3 or 4 hours in transportation returning home. Then they retire at 10 o'clock and again rise early in the morning to go to their offices and factories. This kind of hard labor is described in the Shastra as the life of pigs and stool eaters. Why? Because the whole life is dedicated just on eating and sex and sleeping and necessarily defending. Nayam deo deya bhajam nriloke kastan kama maharti vidyubal bhujam ye. Of all living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One doesn't want to be caught in that crowd, be lumped in with dogs and hogs. What an abominable life. One must find some time for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is Vedic culture. One should work 8 hours at the most to earn his livelihood. And either in the afternoon or in the evening, a householder should associate with devotees to hear about the incarnations of Krishna and his activities, and thus be gradually liberated from the clutches of Maya. However, instead of finding time to hear about Krishna, the householders, after working hard in offices and factories, find time to go to a restaurant or a club where instead of hearing about Krishna and his activities, they are very much pleased to hear about the political activities of demons and non-devotees and to enjoy sex, wine, women, and meat, and in this way, waste their time. This is not Grihastha life, but demoniac life. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, with its centers all over the world, gives such fallen and condemned persons an opportunity to hear about Krishna. So this Prabhupada is explaining what the purpose of the movement is. It is a compassionate movement. In a dream, we form a society of friendship and love. And when we awaken, we see that it has ceased to exist. Similarly, one's gross society, family, and love are also a dream. And this dream will be over as soon as one dies. Oh, I'm not going to die. I have more plans. And also my doctor told me if I just do this, this, and that. And also they're making scientific progress all the time. They've found out the chemical. They're finding out the chemical, not yet, but soon, that causes aging. And then you can take one pill every month, and then you won't have to age anymore. And if you happen to get that, that'll cure the old age problem. And I just hope they find that within the next few years, because I don't want to stop aging when I'm 80 or 90, because my body's going to be in so much misery. But if they stop, get it now, because then it will be good. And then another pill, they'll find out the genetic cause of cancer. And then just give me another pill or an injection, and that'll be stopped. Disease will be stopped. Or if an organ happens to fall apart, they'll grow new ones from stem cells. Grow organs. There'll be liver factories and spleen, clean spleens, and such like that. And hearts. Sometimes you can use mechanical hearts. That won't be bad. But pig hearts aren't so bad either. Dog hearts, nah, maybe not. But pig hearts, that's more suitable. Transplanting that. Horse-hearted. I don't want to be called horse-hearted or pig-hearted. No, pig-hearted's not so bad after all. But anyway, if I get one of those, so those problems will be solved. And I will live forever and ever and ever happily. So this is a dream. Actually, it's a dream. One's real business is to understand that one is soul, aham brahmasmi, and that his activities should therefore be different. Then one can be happy, different from the dream. So we'll stop there with that purport. There's a little more. While working, text 5, while working to earn his livelihood, as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together. While working to earn his livelihood, as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together. One who is actually learned should live in human society unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing very much attached. So here's some instructions how to live in the material world as a householder, and not be a materialistic fool. And Prabhupada, he uses the words fools and rascals so heavily. Don't be a fool and rascal. Don't be a materialist dreaming that I'm going to live forever. We can live forever, but one has to become self-realized to live forever. So those verses were on association and hearing from sadhus. And now the instruction changes on what to do for wealth, with one's wealth, and how to deal with one's family. So one who is actually learned to live in human society, unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing very much attached. Purport. This is the picture of ideal family life. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy about the goal of life, Ramananda Roy described it in different ways according to the recommendation of the revealed scriptures. And finally, Sri Ramananda Roy explained that one may stay in his own position, whether as a Brahmin, a Sudra, sannyasi, or whatever, But one must try to inquire about life's goal. Atato brahmagigyasa. This is the proper utilization of the human form of life. When one misuses the gift of the human form by unnecessarily indulging in the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and does not try to get out of the clutches of Maya, which subjects one to repeated birth, death, old age, and disease, one is again punished by being forced to descend to the lower species and undergo evolution according to the laws of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani sarvasha. Being completely under the grip of material nature, the living entity must evolve again from the lower species to the higher species until he at last returns to human life and gets the chance to be freed from the material clutches. A wise man, however, learns from the Shastras and Guru that we living entities are all eternal, but are put into troublesome conditions because of associating with different modes under the laws of material nature. He therefore concludes, a wise man, therefore concludes that in the human form of life, he should not endeavor for unnecessary necessities. Unnecessary necessities. Things that are unnecessary, but we depend on and consider necessary. Unnecessary necessities. So one shouldn't endeavor for unnecessary necessities, but should live a very simple life, just maintaining body and soul together. Certainly one requires some means of livelihood. And according to one's varna and ashrama, this means of livelihood is prescribed in the Shastras. One should be satisfied with this. Therefore, instead of hankering for more and more money, a sincere devotee of the Lord tries to invent some way to earn his livelihood. And when he does so, Krishna helps him. Earning one's livelihood, therefore, is not a problem. The real problem is how to get free from the bondage of birth, death, and old age. Attaining this freedom and not inventing unnecessary necessities is the basic principle of Vedic civilization. One should be satisfied with whatever means of life comes automatically. The modern materialistic civilization is just the opposite of the ideal civilization. Every day the so-called leaders of modern society invent something contributing to a cumbersome way of life that implicates people more and more in the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. Text 6 and 7. An intelligent man in human society should make his own program of activities very simple. If there are suggestions from his friends, children, parents, brothers, or anyone else, he should externally agree, saying, yes, that is all right. If there are materialistic suggestions that will entangle one further from anyone, close people, he should externally agree, saying, yes, that is all right. But internally, he should be determined not to create a cumbersome life in which the purpose of life will not be fulfilled. The natural products created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be utilized to maintain the bodies and souls of all living entities. The necessities of life are of three types. Those produced from the sky, these are the natural products that we get. Those produced from the sky, from rainfall, from the earth, that means from the mines, the seas, or the fields, and from the atmosphere. And what does that mean? That which is obtained suddenly and unexpectedly. So things that come not from the earth or from the sky, from rain, but just come somehow or another automatically. They just come by chance, so to speak, or by divine arrangement. Well, just when something happens by arrangement, but just unexpectedly. When something happens unexpectedly to you, get some windfall, as they call it, which is obtained suddenly and unexpectedly. Sometimes you have to work to... So one should work to produce things in a natural and simple way. But sometimes things you get, obtain them unexpectedly. Someone gives you something, or you find something upon the road or something like that. Or it just happens, an inheritance, unexpectedly. Prabhupada's purport. We living entities. So in other words, one should maintain one's life in these type of simple ways, not create cumbersome, complicated, unnecessary necessities. Purport by Prabhupada. We living entities in different forms are all children of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Savayona Shukhantaya Murtaya Sambhavatiya. Tasham Brahma Mahad Yonir Aham Bijavada Pita. That in all species of life, O son of Kunti, they are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I, Krishna, is the seed-giving father. A little later in Prabhupada's purport. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for everything is created by Him. All living entities, being the Lord's sons, His eternal parts and parcels, have the right to use their father's property by nature's arrangement. As stated in the Upanishad, tena taktena bunjita madgridha kasya siddhanam. Everyone should be satisfied with the things allotted him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one should encroach upon another's rights or property. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anasambhava yagya bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhava. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of jagya, sacrifice. And jagya is born of prescribed duties. When food grains are sufficiently produced, both animals and human beings can be nourished without difficulty for their maintenance. This is nature's arrangement. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai kamani sarvasha. Everyone is acting under the influence of material nature. And only fools think that they can improve upon what God has created. The householders are specifically responsible for seeing that the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are maintained without fighting between men, communities, societies, or nations. Human society should properly utilize the gifts of God, especially food grains that grow because of rain falling from the sky. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, yagyad bhavati parjanya, so that rainfall will be regulated, humanity should perform jagya, sacrifice. Jagyas were previously performed with offerings of oblations of ghee and food grains. But in this age, of course, this is no longer possible, for the production of ghee and food grains has diminished because of the sinful life of human society. However, people should take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna mantra as recommended in the Shastras. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasa. If people throughout the world take to the Krishna consciousness movement and chant the easy sound vibration of the transcendental name and fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be no scarcity of rainfall. Consequently, food grains, fruits, and flowers will be properly produced, and all the necessities of life will be easily obtained. Grihasthas or householders should take the responsibility for organizing such natural production. It is therefore said, Tasyaiva hetu prayatita kovida. An intelligent person should try to spread Krishna consciousness through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and all the necessities of life will automatically follow. And the final verse and purport that we'll read today. Instructions for householders continuing. One may claim proprietorship to as much wealth as required to maintain body and soul together. But one who desires proprietorship over more than that must be considered a thief, and he deserves to be punished by the laws of nature. Prabhupada's purport. By God's favor, we sometimes get large quantities of food grains, or suddenly receive some contribution or unexpected profit in business. So this is the type of thing that occurs by chance or out of the atmosphere or unexpectedly. In this way, we may get more money than needed. So how should that be spent? There is no need to accumulate money in the bank merely to increase one's bank balance. Such a mentality is described in Bhagavad Gita as a suric demoniac. The Sanskrit verse and then the English translation of 16:13. The demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. The asura is concerned with how much wealth he has in the bank today and how it will increase tomorrow. But unrestricted accumulation of wealth is not permitted either by the Shastra or in the modern age by the government. The government doesn't allow a lot of wealth either. The more you have, the more they conspire to take it from you. Actually, if one has more than one requires for his necessities, the extra money should be spent for Krishna. According to the Vedic civilization, it should all be given to the Krishna consciousness movement, as ordered by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Yat kurosi rachnasi, yat juhosi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kanteyad, yat tatkurusva manarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Grihasthas should spend extra money only for the Krishna consciousness movement. The Grihasthas should give contributions for constructing temples of the Supreme Lord and for preaching of Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Krishna consciousness all over the world. Srinvan Bhagavato Abhikshnam Avitara Kata Amrita. And the Shastras, the Puranas and other literatures, there are so many narrations describing the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone should hear them again and again. For example, even if we read the entire Bhagavad Gita every day, all 18 chapters, in each reading we shall find a new explanation. That is the nature of transcendental literature. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, affords one an opportunity to spend his extra earnings for the benefit of all human society by expanding Krishna consciousness. In India, especially, we see hundreds and thousands of temples that were constructed by the wealthy men of society who did not want to be called thieves and be punished. This verse is very important. As stated here, one who accumulates more money than needed is a thief, and by the laws of nature he will be punished. One who acquires more money than necessary becomes desirous of enjoying material comforts more and more. Materialists are inventing so many artificial necessities, and those who have money, being allured by such artificial necessities, try to accumulate money to possess more and more. This is the idea of modern economic development. Exactly said. This is economic rational. This is exactly consume, 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 shop, 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 consume whether you need it or not. Doesn't make any difference. Whether it is necessary or not doesn't make any difference. What's important is you desire it, you want it, and you should get it. Everyone should just get what they want immediately. Whether you have money, don't have money, buy, consume, shop. This is the modern theory of how society should advance. Consciously like this. Everyone should be intoxicated by shopping. And if not by shopping, there's always sports, entertainment, music, and movies. Of different variety. But everyone should be intoxicated and consume. And that will have economic prosperity, which is then people will be happy, and all problems of life will be solved. This is the modern theory. This, Prabhupada says, is the idea of modern economic development. Possess more and more. Accumulate money to possess more and more. Everyone is engaged in earning money, and the money is kept in the bank, which then offers money to the public. In this cycle of activities, everyone is engaged in getting more and more money. And therefore, the ideal goal of human life is being lost. No ideal or purpose to get more and more love for Krishna. But no, everyone is illusioned into thinking the purpose of life is this economic development and possessions of unnecessary things. What is the result of people happy? No, people are more greedy, more unhappy, full of more desires. Desires are compounding. Not only is their interest compounding and their taxes compounding, but their desires are compounding, which means their dissatisfaction is increasing. Because the more desires one has, the more dissatisfied one is, because the less percentage of one's desires one can have fulfilled. So the goal of life is being lost. Precisely, it may be said that everyone is a thief and is liable to be punished. Punishment by the laws of nature takes place in the cycle of birth and death. No one dies fully satisfied by the fulfillment of material desires, for that is not possible. Therefore, at the time of one's death, one is very sorry, being unable to fulfill his desires. By the laws of nature, one is then offered another body to fulfill his unsatisfied desires. And upon taking birth again, accepting another material body, one voluntarily accepts the threefold miseries of life. That's the material world in a nutshell. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.